Jimmy, it's time for Live in the Lair with Mojo Perry. And Mojo Perry is a profound figure in the underground music scene, captivating audiences with his exceptional guitar skills and soulful compositions. Over the course of 20 years, he has released 9 albums of seamlessly blended blues-infused psychedelic rock, and Perry is renowned for his distinctive sound and evocative guitar tones. But 10 years ago, Mojo Perry encountered a profound challenge as he found himself as one of the countless victims of America's opioid endemic. Embarking on a journey towards recovery and self-discovery, Mojo Perry is a story of triumph over adversity and a comeback in music with a story to tell and songs to write. Mojo Perry, welcome to Max Inc. Radio.
Thank you, guys. I am so honored to be here. You have no idea.
It's been a hot minute since I've seen you, man. Yeah. It's been a couple of years, but you look great.
Thank you.
That's Jimmy awesome. Jimmy was saying something and he thought you appeared on the show at some point before. Was that?
I thought maybe not this one, but I think he might have joined us either at WSUM or perhaps at the Wisco over here in one of the Jimmy K shows.
I believe it was the Wisc.
Wisco.
WSUM does ring a bell as well.
Oh. So you're always saying no, Jimmy.
A couple.
It's been a while. It's great to see you again.
Likewise. I was so happy when I saw that you guys were here. It just made me feel warm and welcome. You guys rock, man. Oh,
well, thanks. Well, you know, before we find out about who Mojo Perry is, let's hear a song. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
The first song you have for us tonight, it's called The Story Song. It's your most popular song. Tell us about this song before you play it.
Well, you know, when I first wrote it, I was, like a lot of artists, I was a kid and I just had this melody, and I love working in that waltz, that 6/8 time, and it just kind of fit perfectly. And originally it was called The Telephone Song. You know, tell you how much younger I was when I wrote it. And then eventually I started writing it differently, and it evolved and evolved, and it just got to be this really special thing that every time we perform it, in fact, we'll play it at Atwood Fest, which we'll talk about later.
Okay.
Right? And it's just one of my personal favorites. Stories end and stories come, stories go, right?
It's a great way to kick off the night with Mojo Perry live in the lair. If you want to call and ask questions, you can do that right now. Mojo would love to say hi to you. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Call or text from the Civic Media app. You're live in the lair with Mojo Perry.
Little fool. So he shut himself from the world. All he left was his guitar. What really matters is how we all try to live our life. Whether we win or lose doesn't even really matter. Thank you. story is true and blue. That little boy became famous for how he played his box guitar. Isn't it funny how we are taught to think about each other?
Live in the lair here on Max Inc. on Civic Media. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Call or text us from the Civic Media app.
Now, Mojo Perry, your deep-rooted passion for guitar, it starts at 5 years old.
Way back, late bloomer.
Tell us your backstory. How did you get into music?
I was really close with my mom before she passed, and I of course ask a lot of questions like a lot of adults do. And my mom told me that when I was five, she came home from visiting her relatives in Ohio, and all I remember seeing was this head of a guitar case come through the door. Now, I hadn't seen my mom in over like a week, a couple weeks. You know, I grabbed that guitar and I took off with it. And, my mom said that from that point on, to any time she wanted to know where I was, she just had to stop and listen. And then she'd find me. And that went on right up until I left the door. So,
wow. Did your parents play music, or did they push you toward playing music? What kind of influence did they have?
Mom was a concert pianist, and she could sight read. I used to sit at the end of the hallway in mornings on weekends and just listen to her play. Wow. It's amazing. Bach, Mozart, all of it. She's amazing.
Wow, that's pretty incredible. Now, how old were you when you started performing live?
I had a teacher in school that was, and of course this is in the Upper Peninsula, Michigan. So quick shout out to Houghton, Michigan. All right, all my Youpers, right? Youper love. Right?
Okay, that's in the Upper Peninsula.
Where in the UP is that?
Well, that is about less than an hour shy of No More Land. You go up north, way up into that UP, God's area code is 906. Yeah, that is. I do this thing with my hand here. Can you guys see that?
Yeah.
See. I'm up here. There's no thumb.
So you're far northern. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, Youper. Okay. 220 inches of snow a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Land of ice and snow, Robert Plant says.
So how old were you when you started performing live?
I was 14 when I did my first classroom. I'd bring my guitar to school. It's how much I played.
Wow.
And it really just was such a big part of my life. I think even to this day, my classmates that I bump into, they say that was always a part of my identity. So really, I don't have any memories of it not being prolific in my life.
So you knew you were going to be a musician?
Yeah, yeah. There was no choice in the matter. It just was a natural course of events, yeah.
So. It's amazing how that works out. So you like you said, you started out in the UP.
Yeah.
You moved to Milwaukee for a little bit, right?
Yeah, I lived in Milwaukee, Chicago.
What was that? What was like big going from the UP to Milwaukee or Chicago?
I went to Chicago. Yeah.
What was that like for you?
Well, it was one of them things where, like, it was. Looking back on it, I was insane.
It had to be culture shock. I mean, going from the UP to a big city like that.
Right. I had never been more excited. And I wrote this very, in my book, it came out, I got this piece called The Hug. And I wrote it that morning before I got on a plane to leave out of Marquette, Michigan. And when I got to Chicago, I knew one person. And that was the person who invited me to come live with them. And I went there and showed up with my guitar. And O'Hare Airport, I had never been anywhere that big ever in my life. And
wow.
Like an idiot, I said, I'm not going home.
And O'Hare's crazy.
I ripped my ticket in half, my
really?
Trip. So, and I toughed it out.
That's crazy.
But you know, you grow up real fast in that environment.
Yeah.
you just become a different person, and I adapted to it. You know, I always had this thing like, you know, if I can deal with all that snow and driving and all that crap, you know, man, I can handle Chicago.
And then you came to Madison. What drew you to Madison here?
You know, and I never really spent time here. And so when I wanted to focus on my health, you know, I wanted to go someplace where I knew that I was comfortable. And I had people here that I wanted to be near. And that's how I wound up here. And it was really kind of as simple as that. I was ready for a change. I wanted to get rid of my environment where I was at the time. Just a change, you know?
How long did it take for you to fall in love with Madison?
Well, about 15 minutes, you know? You know? Yeah, you learn really fast about how good a city is, you know, the way that they treat you. And, you know, I came here to be really quiet. My neighbors have been very responsive. I quit riding a motorcycle up and down, so that kind of killed the beef, you know. So right. I started to fit in, and I love it here. So,
well, you know, Mojo, a 26-year long-standing medical condition that has caused you severe pain led you to a critical point, using pills to deal with pain issues. It's a part of your journey. Tell us about your struggle.
Well, you know, I had a thing that it was natural. It was with my teeth and my shoulders. And at a very early age, I started being prescribed codeine. You know, in fact, I have a song called Codeine where I say, Mr. Doctor, Mr. Doctor, what about me? You know, I'm asking about, you know, what's happening. And especially at that time, there wasn't like an awareness of addiction or anything like, so I never really understood what was happening to me until it was long too late. And then that BS about it's not habit forming and blah, blah, blah. When you don't have the money, they just write you the script to get you out of the office.
Right.
And so that, believe it or not, one foot in the other, 26 years.
When did it dawn on you that, hey, I'm in trouble here?
Well, the first time I tried to tell a doctor, she sat there and shook her head at me. I now know what I was dealing with is restless leg syndrome. That was physical withdrawal. I did not understand what that was. And I was sent out with more. Like they gave me more. And that I often wonder, like, would that have contributed to another 13 years of my life? That was my entire adult life, guys. You know? But I was able to, the good side is I was able to face all those fears to go to Europe with just a couple $100 in your pocket, you know, wing in it.
Right.
Wow. It gave me the courage to do all kinds of things. So, you know, as much as it damaged my life, I am very grateful that what I learned, what I experienced, the person I've become, and the fabulous people that I have met, and the happiness that I have today, guys, I could not have it that way if I didn't experience that dark.
What was the support network that you had to get through that? Obviously, I would imagine your music, but was there other people or something that you did to get through that?
Well, I effectively hid it. You know, I mean, I was really good at hiding it. And, you know, like most addicts are. And then when I was trying to get help, you know, someone overheard the call. And that's when it, you know, all that stuff. It wasn't sleep apnea that I was waking up gasping for air. That was actually an overdose. You know, things that I'm really not proud of, but it's reality of that journey. But again, once you go from that type of darkness and you come out on the other side, you know, you have a strength, you have a personal power, you have
a really this
right. And you find that, you know, what the world throws at you may suck, you may scream, you may cry, you know, that doesn't change anything, but you know, you'll take it head on, baby.
Yeah. You know, you are reclaiming your health, passion, and have a new, renewed artistic vision.
Yes,
tell
sir.
Us about the triumph over adversity. Tell us about kind of how this affected your music.
Well, you know, 26 years is a long time. So that goes back for me for like 17, guys, right?
I mean, yeah.
Think about that. 17, then you just kind of wake up one day. You're this notorious guitar player. As they say, you've got these records, these things going out, and you've got this terrible thing that's making you sick, you know, and you're still trying to perform, still trying to meet your goals, your deadlines. The pressure is unbelievable, you know. And so when I found my way in to recovery, I just decided, like, I had enough. You know, really, I just had enough. Nobody had to tell me anything. I was on my way there. And what saved my neck was Obamacare. I got my medical card. Then I was able to address these medical issues. And then that was when I realized I was really in over my head. Oof. But again, I cannot stress to you enough that all the people that I know throughout recovery, they all say the same things. You know, you go in, you know, you feel like a little baby, you know, like you feel like you're no hope, your life is over, blah, blah. Then you come out and you're like, no, that's just not true. And I remember shaking my head at all those cliches. I still hate them. You know, live for today, man. Like, no, just leave me alone. You know?
But I guess there is some importance to them, and they hold or ring true, right. I guess. And so, especially with a story like you, where you've come out on the good side of this,
yeah,
of addiction.
I have friends I miss.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Yeah. And, you know, and so I had a special someone, but a cat. A cat was what did it.
Well,
like, it befriended me and, like, legit, she just wanted nothing to do with me. One day, changed her mind.
Cats are awesome, Rocker.
Yeah, they are.
Well,
free of the cat.
Yeah. On that note, let's get back to live music in the lair with Mojo Perry, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song you have for us today, and I'll stay right here. The next song you have for us tonight is called A Kiss, and an old song written by a friend. Tell us about this song before you play.
All right. Now, I say old friend as a metaphor. My old friend, James, you'll figure it out real quick, right?
I see.
Right, but you know, my pension for Hendrix, I'll never forget it, guys. Never forget it. I was a John Lennon nut like most people, right? Beatles, yeah. Psychedelic stuff, that's cool. We're on the same page.
Right.
And there was this thing on HBO, and I watched it. And, you know, John Lennon was supposed to be on. And then this flash, this black man with this huge afro playing the most wicked guitar and Voodoo Child's Slight Return. I was like, wow, what was that? And to, you know, and that was where I fell in love with Hendrix. And so I have this, what I feel is a very intimate personal relationship with the guy. Wow. You know, I've read about him. I got books on his handwriting, all kinds of things. He's a really beautiful person.
He was super intelligent too, and such a great musician and songwriter.
Very genuinely special man.
What's something that people don't know about Jimi Hendrix that they should?
That they should? Well, you know, there's this odd theory that, you know, it broke my heart when I heard it that he was murdered. Like, you know, like he had that bad management, right, with Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. He was real kind of bad dude, right? And Jimmy was like, I'm going to go back to jazz. I'm getting my new life back. Yeah, I'm done here. I don't want this darkness in my life. And so he sent some thugs over to say, you need him to protect, you know, from this happening, right? You know, the age-old thing that they've done over the years. And he didn't like wine. That's the thing that people don't know about him. And what did he suffocate on? Wine.
Wow.
So he didn't touch wine. He just never drank wine. That was the thing. So that's the thing I've always found. You know, is it true? Broke my heart the day I heard it, but it makes sense.
Wow, you know, I've never heard that before.
That's an interesting theory, that's for sure.
I think there's a video on YouTube about it. But the thing that I never knew about the guy, like all these things, like, you know, he would try anything. Like, you know, he was like Mikey, hey, yeah, I'll do it, right? You know, but not wine.
Wine is fine, but...
Right, you know?
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Call or text us in the Civic Media app. Mojo Perry is live in the lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. Max Inc. on Civic Media.
Thank you. but she causing me pain. I could caress all my kiss. Many depression was breaking my heart. But you're breaking me in two. We make love, we break love. I don't know what to do. And all my sweet feelings, I wish I could caress. Hold with a kiss.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Mojo Perry live in the lair here on Max Inc. Civic Media, 844-967-2789. Now, Mojo, in 28 years, you released 9 albums. You played countless of shows. Tell us about your career and what were you able to accomplish before your self-imposed hiatus?
Well, I remember, like, there was a big movement when I first got here in 97. Original music was just starting to hit Wisconsin. We have a very profound, like, if you look at it, guys, don't we? I mean, there's so much going on with music here in Wisconsin. I've seen people from all over the country and even parts of the world come here because of what we have going on.
It's the single reason why we're on the air every Saturday night from 6 to midnight, you know?
God bless you.
I mean, there's so many, there's so much talent, and it's been called world class more than once on this airway.
I would not agree with that. I would say it's double world class.
It's universe class.
Yes, very much so. But back then, you know, there had to be like a bigger push for it because the norm at the time is, you know, like you break any molds, there's always going to be some type of pushback, right? And everything was working fine, you know. It was the way that I recall it, it was profoundly all cover, like pretty much that was all there was. And there was a bunch of people, not just myself, that we really pushed and we advocated for original music. I mean, we out there were pushing it. I was one of those people, and you know, I mean, there's just, it starts with Waves, and then of course Mark Goldie, you know, that guy's amazing what he's accomplishing up there. I remember meeting Mark right when all this stuff started. So I feel that my career, at least, that I contributed to all of that right when it mattered. You know, like there had to be someone that was out there doing it and going against the norm. I remember like shows, like most of my shows are predominantly all original. I've been like that. I don't recall ever being cover based, even with the stuff that we do is very different than what you would hear. And so like being a part of all that, I can't tell you what that means to me. And not just myself, lots of people. I mean, that was a huge thing that we all took part in. To go from there to here, what we have now, it's amazing. Lots of great people.
Well, that's pretty cool. And, you know, Madison happens to be one of those cities where we are just a little bubble of original music here.
Very much
so. But there's some great stuff around Wisconsin. But you're correct. You know, cover bands in a lot of the areas are really what it's about. Well, you know, you credit your comeback on your self-imposed five-year hiatus to focus on your health and reinventing yourself as a person, an artist, and a songwriter. Tell us about your transformative journey.
Well, I'll tell you the thing that I never expected. Like, you just don't wake up one day and say, wow, you know, I'm an addict, right?
No. Nope.
Well, you do when you got to make that change. But all along that way, as you go through, you got to face different things with yourself. And what it meant for me to focus on my health like that, I had done music since my first release was on 16. Mm-hmm. Right? It was recorded on tape. It wasn't digital music. It was, you really had to work harder for that, especially in the UP. You know, that was, I think it was a half inch tape that we recorded to.
Reel to reel.
Right, reel to reel, 16. But we started from there. Now, like, of course, you can do so much with a laptop.
Yeah.
You know, and grow. So that taught me how to focus more on my songwriting and relearn something that, like, I never recorded until Nashville sober before ever in my entire life. So that was very unique. You know, that was quite the experience doing this. Like, even here, this is still new. I'm still getting these things under my belt, new experience. So, you know, of course you're gonna man up, I guess, right?
Well, tell us about your mission to help others using your story and your comeback. And what can you offer to others who may be struggling with an addiction to painkillers?
Well, you know, the hard part about addiction is that people have a tendency to think that it's a moral issue. It's not a moral issue.
It's a medical issue.
It's a medical issue, right? You become physically dependent. And, you know, and the way that addiction works, it covers the frontal lobe of the brain, which is where you make the decisions. And that's how cycles happen. And it, for some people, you just use once, other times. There's people who just can stop anytime. I've seen it all different levels. You know, if you have that going on, what I can truly say to you as a person who was weak for 26 years, you can crawl out from that rock. You can have that life that you want, that happiness. You'll be uncomfortable for a while, but if you had the flu, right, and had a couple of bad years at work, you'll be just fine. You know, and if you focus on yourself, you're just going to come out ahead. You know what I mean? It's just a win-win thing. And the change comes by doing the work. You keep the focus. And so what I have to offer is that I'm not the only person. You know, America's opioid epidemic produced far more than victims and tragedies. It produced survivors, too. And, you know, as far as I know, we don't have an advocacy group. So I'm just kind of sharing my story so that people can feel more comfortable with stepping forward about theirs.
You ever think about, like, starting a foundation or a support group yourself?
Well, you know,
to that end, to help people, or
you know, that's
a lot of work. That's like a second full-time job.
I do speak
almost
professionally sometimes on this stuff, and you know, I think it's important to be open about it. You know, and I just want to put it behind me. I don't think I would enjoy being the front guy for anything like that. You know, the work and the effort, but there's so much out there for people who have struggling that just wasn't there when in 2014 when I came in. You know, like the way I describe it, you know, like, I had no idea that there was going to be a couple million dead people coming on my tails that were going to flood the whole medical system for help and treatment and everything. I had no clue. And I had just landed right where the trickle of water was hitting my heels. The next thing you know, it was all around everybody. You know, it happened just like that. So,
wow. What a story.
Yeah.
Well, let's get back to live music in the lair with Mojo Perry, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. The next song you have for us tonight, it's called Drugs. Wow. This song was written in the year 2000, and it's uniquely foreshadowing. What does this song mean for you?
I wrote this in 15 minutes, I believe. And it was modified open G tuning that I use all the time. And of course, in Michigan's UP, you know, if you want to play, you got to get in your car and you got to go from one end of the place to the other. From, like, I've been all over Michigan, especially in the northern part, and every, like, biker bar, you name it. And this song just kind of went in there. What I didn't realize until recovery, how's this for trippy, right? I never really listened to my own work. And I was telling people what was going on with me the whole time. I was expressing myself, what was happening in my life, the things that were happening, what was going on.
Oh, through your music.
Right. And I don't lie in my work. I am very honest with what I say, what I do. And like a lot of hear about people's, you know, their bottom rock, you know. Oh, this is my bottom. You know, I lost my family. For me, it was waking up one day and realizing I had 123 songs or whatever was published and none of them were really happy. That broke my heart because, yeah. You know, like you utter bad things online, that just isn't going to be. This goes into someone who's impressionable, someone who listens and acts to it. And so when I think about expressing that thing, you know, I was really telling myself what was going on. So that's what I learned, you know, throughout wow. that. That was a real wake up, fellas.
Such a powerful, inspiring story is Mojo Perry live in the lair. Let's hear the song Drugs. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
All right. I love that part.
Thank you.
Lair. That is awesome. Hey, we're going to take a break real quick. We'll be back in 2 minutes. You're live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group. It's Max Inc. on Saturday night, Civic Media.
Cranberries, beer, and great local music. This is Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Saturday night across the Civic Media Radio Network. We're doing Live in the Lair with Mojo Perry. We've got Rob Roberts with After Hours 11 and Shane Christopher Neal at 10 o'clock with Indy 45 Show. Let's get us another song, live song from Mojo Perry, Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Radio. Ooh, I love that feedback. Speaking of Jimi Hendrix. Sounds so good, you know?
Buzz. We got a buzz.
We got a buzz, Rocker. That's right.
All right. Just, oh. The buzz went away, Jimmy. What'd you do?
No idea.
There we go.
All right.
Sit on a park bench, trying to score myself a joint. Say, Lord, I ain't got no life. I say, Mister, tell me your poem, 'cause I don't care no more. I was a yuppie, I had myself a doll and two white little kid on. Threw it all away, put up a fix that thing I could get. And I don't care, Lord, no more. I said, Lord, I don't care no more. I said, Lord, no. God, save my soul. Mother, babe, give me my Bible, 'cause I needed myself some kind of hope. Mr. Doctor, I need a fix. I need some Prozac, baby, lithium or coke. And I don't care, babe, no, no. Lord, I don't care no more. Lord, save my soul. Just leave me, babe, on this park bench. I'm just gonna sit back, babe, and enjoy myself in the sun. Eventually, Lord, I'm gonna score myself drunk. I'm gonna have myself a whole lot of fun. And I don't care, Lord, no more. I said, Lord, baby, I don't care, no, no. I said, Lord, baby, see my soul.
Max Classic on Civic Media, Live in the Lair with Mojo Perry. That was Sitting on a Park Bench. I like that song. I like that first line, sitting on the park bench waiting or trying to score a joy.
Right. Yeah. Back when it was like truly criminal.
Right.
Yeah.
Mojo, you were nominated for a few Wisconsin Area Music Industry Awards, and you made it to the finals for Best Guitarist and Second Instrument for, is it Lobro?
Lobo, yeah.
What is a Lobro? I'm not familiar with that.
Well, I'll tell you, John Lowe, Mountains, Tennessee guy, he Arkansas way, reinvented, he's the godfather, as far as I'm concerned, of cigar box guitars.
Oh, yeah.
The, okay. The neck has two wooden dowels. Pat McDonald. You know, Wisconsin, yeah. Pat McDonald plays a Lobo Purgatory Hill. Mm-hmm. That's a Lobo. So it has two professional wooden dowels, and there is a difference. It's not just like, you know, regular grade, and it's got four strings. And I tune mine to E-A-E-E. So I basically have two notes, and I'll tell you, it is the deepest, most soulful tone you're ever going to hear. You'll hear it at Atwood Fest, I promise.
Now, you know, that brings me to, who are Mojo's ladies?
They are my guitars. Not all of them have names. It's only like the ones that have particular character to them that I take a shining to that wind up for animals that I've met with a name, right? In fact, I have an instrument named Lulu, which was after a little kitten I met. Most adorable creature. The guitar just felt like a Lulu. My Les Paul, Jules, because all sparkly and match personality. Someone, yeah. Yeah, this one I'm playing actually has no name.
I was just going to ask, no name for that one, huh?
Nuh-uh. Not all of them get them. Like, okay. I'm just weird.
And that's a Fender, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yep.
And how many cigar box guitars do you have?
Ooh, I have a few. Under 10. Because
under 10.
I don't like to have instruments I don't play. But the thing is about like Lobos, if you want to change key, you can move the bar in them. They're very finicky. So I've learned it's better to just have one set from different keys, so it move quick and things like that. So,
next Saturday, July 27th, Mojo Perry Band is playing the Luther Allison stage at Atwood Fest, opening for the headliner Dusty Bow. Tell us about the band you're bringing and what we will see. Some cigar box guitars.
Yes, I promise. Because you brought it up, I will make sure I bring one or two, and I will thump on them for you guys. Just for you guys, I promise. I give you my word.
And who's in your band?
Tony Williams on drums and Chuck Hubble on bass. I go way back with these guys. Tony on drums, I met him the first week I moved to Wisconsin in 97.
Wow.
So we got deep history with those guys.
And who is Zumi the cat? Is that your saxophonist?
No, she's my cat. She's a cat. Yep, she's got her own little following, videos, and yep, she has me wrapped around her little paw. She can do no wrong. She's present with just about everything I create. It's really kind of insane.
Its own social media page? Does Zumi have their own social media page and followers?
No,
and stuff?
I don't. I don't do that to her because, like, I don't want to force her into videos and, you know, like, work her. You know, I just, you know, she just has a charm to her. And, you know, she keeps me in line. She even comes, brings me to bed if I stay up too late. She'll come get me. Yeah.
Mojo Perry's Live in the Lair here. We got a couple more songs. Let's see. Rocker, can we do both songs back to back? Is that possible? And see where we are?
Well, the next song is Casual Dismissal. I guess you'd have to ask Mr. Mojo Perry that.
Well, we can see how it goes. It's a little bit long one.
Okay.
But I'll see what I can do to kind of shorten it up.
We got 8 minutes until that dreaded heartbreak. Mojo Perry is live in the lair here on Max Inc. Radio. If you want to call, give us a do it right now. We'll squeeze you in. 844-967-2789.
What the heck?
There's that buzz again.
We'll turn. Uh-oh.
I think it's your cable here. Boy, that drives me wrong.
He thinks it's my cable, Jimmy.
Oh, dear. Well, let's see here. Live radio sometimes is wonderful. I'll take this opportunity to tell you that Shane Christopher Neal and Indy 45 show is coming up at the top of the hour. Rob Roberts with After Hours. Right now, Mojo Perry got rid of the buzz. We got a clear single. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media.
I see it. Isn't it funny how we can be many lovers, next enemies. Does anyone even notice? See or hear or do anything? Does anyone even care? Tell me, different. Wish I could explain. I felt happy, I felt sad, I felt everything in between. Does anyone ever feel like that? Tell me, please. Can be 1 minute lovers, there's enemies. Does anyone even notice? See or hear and do anything? Anyone even care? Tell me, please.
Joe Perry live in the lair. Hey, Mojo, let's go right in the wishes here, man. See if we can squeeze it in before the top of the hour. Got 4.5 minutes for you, brother.
I wish that I could say I'm sorry, but nothing's weaker than words we speak. I wish that I could be the same. That lately I've been the same. How much of you really is me? I'll never know, 'cause you're too blind to see. Sometimes I wish that I wasn't in pain. And that lately I've been a saint. Thank you. Something tells me that I ain't gonna see. That lately, babe, I ain't been me.
Joe Perry live in the lair. I'm actually really happy right now. We actually got all of your songs in tonight. And before we went to commercial, I thought we were in trouble.
Well, I was like cutting it. I was like, all right, don't babble with my plane.
Thank you so much for coming in, playing live in the lair.
I had so much fun, guys. Thank
we are
you.
Super excited to see you perform live at Atwood Fest, Rocker.
Boys and I are stoked. I'm telling you.
Where do we find you guys online?
MojoPerry.com has a whole catalog and even stuff that's not published in regular mainstream media. So Very lots of cool stuff there.
That's awesome. Thank you once again, Mojo. Appreciate you for coming in. Awesome music. And it's awesome, the story that you have, too.
Thank you. And thank you for allowing me to share it with you guys. You know, if I didn't feel comfortable, I went into this going, okay, I'm just going to be real.
We
like Cat Williams. I'm going to tell it like it is.
Yeah. Wow. We're like journalists.
Right.
Hey, I want to say thanks to Allie Kay and Ray for coming in, telling us about Pararock Paranormal Expo coming up at the Annex. Phil Kegley, it's great to see you. Thanks for coming in. Thanks to Ralph McCathery for the Wisconsin Naked Mile, telling us about that. And Dusty Bow, who is also going to be at Atwood Fest, and Terry Barr. Rocker, good show tonight. Thank you very much. Thank you to all of you for listening.
Thanks, everybody.
Original local music from Wisconsin, Shane Christopher Neal. Indie 45 shows next on Max Inc. Radio.